This is a Rally Week in Review for the week of March 23rd, 2009. I'm James Turner, contributing editor at O'Reilly Media, and on this week's O'Reilly Week in Review, we'll talk to one of the organizers of the WEAR conference about the state of geolocation and georeferencing technologies. We'll have an excerpt of an interview with Brian Aker of Sun about the future of MySQL, especially if it should fall into the hands of IBM. We'll have all that, plus this week's quiz and the answer to last week's quiz on O'Reilly Week in Review. It's that time in the podcast when we talk to some of our fellow O'Reilly editors. Today I've got Brady Forrest on the line. Brady is responsible for organizing some of O'Reilly's conferences, including the Ignite Conference, Web 2.0, and a conference many may not be familiar with, WEAR. Brady, why don't you tell us a little bit about what WEAR is about?
Well, thanks, James. WEAR is about the intersection of the internet and geolocation. So when WEAR started 4 years ago, Google Maps had just launched, Virtual Earth launched at the conference, and really, location and maps was the domain of larger companies. And if you wanted to use a map online, you were stuck grabbing an embed of MapQuest, and people had just begun hacking Google Maps for their own unofficial API. But you fast forward 4 years later, and maps of all varieties, 3D included, are expected. Whenever you hear about a new data source, you assume that you can get it, you can have full access to it and geolocate it. And the new domain is location.
Well, it's certainly the case that a lot of people using iPhones have suddenly started being exposed to a lot of geolocation aware applications. Do you think in some ways the new generation of cell phones, especially phones like the iPhone, are kind of a watershed for consumer geolocation?
They are, but I feel like the true watershed moment is still to come. Because the iPhone, while it has done an amazing job of heralding location to the masses, or bringing location to the masses, it is still quite crippled. To actually update my location to a service, I have to go to that individual app. There's no way to update my location constantly in real time in the background. So if someone else is using a social network, Buddy Finder type app like Whirl or Foursquare or Looped, I have to keep going to that location to update my, or that application to update my location. My friends don't know how accurate that data is. But if you look at a phone, if you look like an OS like Android, those applications can run in the background and thus geolocate me constantly. I expect Apple will update their OS due to competition from Android, but it's still not there yet.
Yeah, well, I'm in fact running the 3.0 beta on my phone, and background is not in the cards for 3.0 because of performance issues. One of the other interesting things I've seen, especially with the iPhone, but also with some of the new cameras, is that all of a sudden photos have become embedded. The JPEG standard already has the capability to record location. And so you're starting to see applications like some of the ones Microsoft is working on that take that data and use it to infer larger data sets from a collection of pictures.
Yeah, Microsoft's Photosynth has done an amazing job of that. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's photosynth.com. And you can generate your own 3D models of an area that you've been to. Panoramio, a company that Google bought a couple years ago, also will create 3D collections. But the people who I feel are really pioneering and making this available to the masses are photo sharing sites like Flickr and SmugMug. Flickr in particular has done a lot with supporting geotagging and has developed full map interfaces for showing off these photos in a certain locale. And with a places feature, it lets you do searches on tags by location. And for instance, if you search for chicken in the U.S., you come up with chicken nuggets as an iconic photo. But if you search for chicken in China, you end up with a stew where you see more of the whole chicken body parts.
All right, well, we've been talking today with Brady Forrest, who is one of the major conference organizers for O'Reilly. Thank you for taking the time, and we will have a new editor for you next week. In last week's pod quiz, we asked a fairly simple question about the O'Reilly product line. We asked you to name at least four different series that the O'Reilly publishing line contains. Ronaldo Ferreira of Sao Paulo, Brazil, was able to list the Hack series, the Missing Manual series, the Head First series, the Pocket Guide series, and the In a Nutshell series, which doesn't count because we gave it to begin with. Ronaldo chose Designing Web Interfaces by Bill Scott and Teresa Neal as his prize. Because he's out of the country, he got a PDF, which I'm sure he'll be quite happy with. Stay tuned later in the podcast for this week's question. Sun Microsystems has been in the news this week with rumors of a possible buyout by IBM. Since we were going to be talking to Brian Aker anyway, who is the director of technology for MySQL at Sun, it seemed like a good opportunity to find out what his thoughts were about what MySQL's future might be if it were acquired by IBM.
Well, you know, IBM actually has a project to actually run their storage engine that they use for DB2 directly under MySQL. At the same time, MySQL a couple of years ago gained a bit of popularity on their, I think it's what is it, the iSeries? I always forget the name. Basically, their mainframes. You know, MySQL picked up a bit of popularity in that area. So I would actually think it would fit pretty well. I mean, MySQL has been, you know, traditionally above just the point of just being, say, a Unix-based database or a Windows-based database. I mean, it's pretty much fit on just about anything you can imagine.
We talked about geolocation with Brady Forrest a little earlier in the podcast, and that, in fact, is the theme of this week's pod quiz question. As you may know, the Earth is not a perfect sphere, which would have made it much easier to lay out coordinate systems on it. In fact, it's what's called an ellipsoid. Different mathematical models have been developed to try to approximate that ellipsoid for the purposes of mapping and positioning. For your chance at any book in the O'Reilly catalog, tell us what ellipsoid model is used most commonly by GPS. If you give us the correct answer and you're first, you'll get a chance to pick any book out of the O'Reilly catalog. If you live outside the United States, we'll have to send you a PDF. If you think you know the answer, send it to podquiz, PODQUIZ, at O'Reilly.com. Good luck! Once again, we've reached the end of an O'Reilly Week in Review. Join us next week for more interviews and roundtable discussions on the pertinent topics of the day. The theme music for O'Reilly Week in Review was composed and performed by Father Rock. For O'Reilly Media, this is James Turner.